Chris Wilson, also Ms. Custer.
Again, in this case, I would be focusing on only one issue of the two that I raised, and that would be whether the injuries inflicted on Mr. Rodriguez were sufficient to qualify as serious bodily injury under the statute. And I would submit that given the plain reading of the statute itself, which defines serious bodily injury, coupled with this court's construction.
Now, what if it's not serious bodily injury? Is there still a federal crime of?
Yes. And in fact, there were two other provisions under which the government could have charged
two others.
There's Section 113, Subsection 4, which is assault by striking, beating, or wounding, which I would submit.
What section is that?
Section 4, Subsection 4 of Section 113. Yes. And then Subsection 5 of 113 is simple assault. Now, those are both six-month misdemeanors, and I would submit that certainly.
They're both 6 months?
Yes.
But look, that's a problem, isn't it? Because this is 10 years, and that's 6 months. 6 months would be too little for this assault.
Well, that may be.
Now, look, this is a very dangerous assault. He could have killed his victim very easily, kicking him with his steel-shod shoes, right? That's very serious. That is not a six-month offense.
And I'm not trivializing.
We have to choose. I mean, it's badly drafted. Okay, we have to choose between two sections, neither of which, the first one, the simple assault, doesn't fit because the punishment is too light. And the other one doesn't fit because substantial bodily injury is defined in such a extreme way, right? That's a problem.
It is a problem, Your Honor, but I think we're still limited to the four criteria that are set out under 113, and I don't think it qualifies under any one of those four.
Why doesn't this qualify as extreme physical pain, given the extent of the injuries and the fact that it's a
well, and I think
an assault
if it comes
with
within one.
Steel-toed boots. Why did they allow these
probably
boots
the
in
closest.
The prison in the first place?
Yes, that's very puzzling.
Why the inmates are allowed to wear steel-toed boots in this prison? That makes no sense.
I can't imagine.
Especially a prison with these terrible racial tensions.
Well, and clearly there was pain
associated
with it.
What do they do with these boots? Are they working?
I'm not sure what they do at Greenville wearing steel-toed boots. It's the first I had encountered that. Clearly it's a dangerous weapon, potentially.
But you know about the pain issue, what's so puzzling about this? If you hit a person hard enough, he'll just go unconscious and won't feel pain, right?
Arguably,
I mean, I don't know
yes.
what it's like to be hit on the head, but you could have a very strong blow, might not inflict pain, or you might not remember the incident, and so you'd have no perception of pain. And that, on your analysis, that's excluded.
Well, it's difficult to quantify pain anyway. I mean, clearly that's a subjective factor. We've all got different levels of tolerance for pain. So, you know, before I think that's the least concrete, although it may be the one that's closest to the facts here, because I don't, clearly it was not impaired or disfigured in any significant way.
Well, he was scarred. That's what they said. The scar would never go away. It's not likely to have plastic surgery. So,
but this court has said that in interpreting the statute, that serious bodily injury means grave and serious injury. It's of a grave nature, and in United States versus Webster, it's used in the conjunctive. Serious bodily injury is of a grave and serious nature. And I don't think this was grave.
Broken
bones?
Might
have been serious, but I don't think it was grave.
Why don't broken bones qualify just by definition?
Well, and they may within, you know, if you look at some of the cases, and there aren't a lot of them, you know, most of the cases construing serious bodily injury versus bodily injury are a guidelines question and not an assault with intent to commit serious bodily injury. It doesn't happen except if it's in a federal penitentiary. Would it even come before the court? There are cases with broken bones where the court has said that that's serious. But I don't think that falls within the definition of, you know, the four criteria either.
Why do the guidelines have a different definition?
It's a good question, Your Honor. I don't
know. No.
This would not have qualified under the guidelines definition, though.
But it is a looser definition.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Scott.
Thank you, Your Honor. Excuse me. I just want to respond briefly to something Ms. Kister just said. She said that it would not have been considered serious under the guidelines. In fact, it was, and he received a 5-level enhancement for serious bodily injury rather than what he was requesting, which was a 3-level enhancement for serious or simply bodily injury. Your Honors, I think the focus here is that Ms. Kister is trying to do is have this court look at case law from this circuit and from other circuits and use that case law to say, well, the jury got it completely wrong. The jury that sat there during this 2-day trial, who saw this videotape, saw the defendant.
What was the testimony about pain?
Well, Mr. Rodriguez testified that he was in pain afterwards from being beat on the head. Physician's assistant Gillian testified that Mr. Rodriguez had told him that he was in pain when he got back. There was still some pain up until June 6th when he examined him. And not only was there pain that he suffered, he also suffered from what they diagnosed as post-traumatic stress-like disorder, for which he was prescribed medication. He couldn't sleep. He was jumpy. He was anxious. This beating was so brutal that two people told the defendant, stop. You're going to kill this guy.
In reference to Judge Sykes' question, do you know why these prisoners are required to wear these shoes that have iron?
Your Honor, I asked that question. That was one of the first questions I asked. My understanding as far as FCI Greenville was is they have a Unicor unit there where they manufacture clothes or whatever, and I know that a lot of the inmates are required to wear steel-toed boots that work there. Now, I know Mr. Rodriguez.
They just wear the boots or these boots while they're engaged in their work rather than in their cells.
No, they're always. In fact, I was told that you have to get a special permit not to wear
I understand that, but I don't understand why the prison wouldn't limit their wearing. I mean, I realize this is not relevant, but why the prison wouldn't have them put on these shoes when they're making the clothes and not when they're in their cells.
I agree 100%, Your Honor. I think Mr. Rodriguez's injuries would not have been as severe if he was not being kicked with steel-toed boots. And I picked these up, and I couldn't believe the weight of them. And I think, Your Honor, that, that as this court has repeatedly said, it doesn't reweigh the evidence. It assumes the jury follows its instructions. The jury was specifically instructed as to what it needed to find in order to determine if the defendant had suffered serious bodily injury. The jury came back with a guilty verdict. I think some of the, even we had Dr. Suderer testify that, look, even though it's subjective as to whether or not injury is severe, I would think that anyone who suffers a 7-inch laceration to their forehead would. And let me make sure I have this testimony correct. Would consider that, he was said, would probably say that that's severe. He also eventually agreed that suffering lacerations and a broken nose would be painful. But I think some of the most compelling testimony came from the physician's assistant, Mr. Gillian, who said that there was three specific reasons that he believed that the injuries here were more severe, that this was one of the most severe beatings he'd seen. And one was that it was likely that a victim had lost consciousness. That was based on the victim's, part of it was based on the victim's own statements that once he was knocked out of the chair, he couldn't remember anything except for being put up again. There was also testimony from three witnesses, the three correctional officers, who all said that he was laying there and appeared to be unconscious while this beating was taking place. And three of his cellmates testified that it looked like he was unconscious, just laying there like a dish rag. The extent of the victim's injuries, he said that he had multiple areas that were injured. And I thought I didn't know this myself, was that, the location, the fact that the lacerations were here rather than in the fleshy part, he said that it takes a lot of pressure or repeated hits to make the lacerations here. So I think the evidence that was presented to the jury, the videotape photos, the testimony, was sufficient for the jury to find that he did, in fact, suffer serious bodily injury. And under the standard that we're looking at here, I think that the record was not devoid of any evidence pointing to his guilt as to the serious bodily injury, and that the evidence on serious bodily injury was not so tenuous that a conviction would be shocking. So, Your Honors, I would ask that, and I'm not going to address count two since Easter didn't. I'll stand on my brief on that. And so we believe that this conviction should be affirmed. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Scott. Ms. Kister, how much time does she have? 2-3 minutes? Do you have anything further?
No, Your Honor. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and you were appointed. We thank you again. Your efforts on that. We thank Ms. Scott as well, and the court will be in recess.